Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. I searched for definition of the term eco-psychology and found the following. 1. Eco-psychology applies ecological and physiological theories and research methodology to study the relationship between people and the natural world. There is a focus on well-being. 2. Eco-psychology studies the relationship between human beings and the natural environment through both ecological and psychological principles. 3. Eco-psychology seeks to develop and understand ways of expanding the emotional connection between individuals and the natural environment, thereby assisting individuals with developing sustainable lifestyles and remedying alienation from nature. 4. A related area of social and mental health research experiencing recent rapid growth is that of positive psychology, a psychology of positive human functioning, which aims, quote, to achieve a scientific understanding and effective interventions to build thriving individuals, families, and communities, unquote. There is progression evident here, from a novel perspective to a new interrelationship to a provolutionary plan for action to a consequent transformational outcome. It is a term of science. It is a mindset on which our premise, strategy, and prognosis for the future depends. What is most instructive to me is the correspondence jargon rescinded with descriptions of indigenous engagement with nature between the people and the natural world surrounding. The means for worldview to become a viable rationale, taking us from individual angst to a thriving community. Is this the context that we must use in our present moment, with the convincing vocabulary required to provide meaning and effective intervention for our future health as individuals, families, communities, and nation states for successful survival in our modern time? A 2017 report by the UN Environment Program, Indigenous People and Nature, a Tradition of Conservation, describes the cultural worldview of the Maori people of New Zealand as follows. Humans are deeply connected with nature. The two are equal, interdependent, even kin. The idea is reflected in the Maori word kaitikanda, which means guarding and protecting the environment in order to respect the ancestors and secure the future. The Maori's intimate relationship with their lands and the natural world is shared by many other indigenous peoples around the world and highlights why these often marginalized groups are gaining recognition as vital stewards of our environment and its fast-depleting resources. The world's 370 million indigenous people are only 5% of the total population, but they officially hold 18% of the land and lay claim to far more. Their home areas across 70 countries from the Arctic to the South Pacific include many of the planet's biodiversity hotspots. Their traditions and belief systems often mean that they regard nature with deep respect, and they have a strong sense of place and belonging. This sustains knowledge and ways of life that match up well with modern notions of nature, conservation, and the sustainable use of natural resources. Unsurprisingly, indigenous people have been stout opponents of development imposed from beyond their communities. They defend their lands against illegal encroachments and destructive exploitation, from mega dams across their rivers to logging and mining in their forests. That can make them ideal custodians of the landscapes and ecosystems that are also central to efforts to limit climate change and adapt to its effects. But it also makes them targets. Communities who stand up against powerful economic and political interests remain under intensive pressure in many parts of the world. Unquote. Eco-psychological? It would seem so. The observation and terrible irony is certainly not new to the global discussion of our present quandary and ways forward. The presence of indigenous people at the United Nations, climate conferences, and regional meetings and protests confronting development and its outcome is familiar from the Amazon to the Arctic, mostly dismissed as colorful vestige, mostly ignored, or invoked at the opening of international meetings, municipal assemblies, even sporting events. It would be simply laughable if it wasn't so hypocritical and sad, if it wasn't so selfish and ignorant, if it wasn't so antithetical to the urgency of our need, if it wasn't so wise, if it wasn't so useful, if it wasn't so essential to our acceptance and adaptation of a way forward. Oceanic feeling is an eco-psychological state of mind. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.